Well, to all the mothers out there, I wish you a very happy Mother's Day. My sister is pregnant with her first baby, and so in my family, there's been a lot of talk about motherhood and children, and it's been a time of great joy. I'm very excited to have my first nephew, to be able to hold him, to be his godfather, and to baptize him. And as I was talking to my mom yesterday on the phone about all of this, she said something very profound. She said that she had been talking to my sister, and she and my sister had come to the conclusion that having a child, carrying a baby, was the greatest miracle that they could share in with God. And I thought, how beautiful is that? And I really have been standing in awe of this amazing, amazing reality of motherhood. Today, of course, we crowned Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, as Queen. She is indeed Queen of Heaven and Earth, not because we crowned her, but because Christ Jesus, our King, has crowned her. But we follow suit, and in the Church Militant, we honor her as Queen of our parish, Queen of our families, and Queen of each of our hearts. I have to credit my priestly vocation to three women in my life. My mother, of course, who gave me birth, and who at the young age of 6 months gave me to Our Lady. Apparently, I was a holy terror, and she did not like taking me to Mass. So for all parents out there who have children who cry during Mass, my own mother would be able to sympathize with you, because I would scream and cry, and she couldn't get me to stop. But she took me at one Mass to the statue of the Blessed Mother, and she said, "Take him, Mary. She's yours. He's yours. I can't deal with him anymore." And I do believe that Our Lady took me into her heart and gave me a priestly vocation at that moment. Of course, my grandmother, who taught me the rosary and instilled the great gift of faith. How many of us, our grandmothers, were the ones who gave us our faith? It's pretty common. And then lastly, Our Lady herself, who's mothered me my entire life, in my spiritual life. But our moms, they not only give us life, but they are often the ones who first awaken love within us. There's no bond that can be as powerful as that of a mother for her child, her own flesh and blood. How Eucharistic! I think there's something profoundly Eucharistic about motherhood, that a mother shares her very flesh and blood to bear a child in her womb. Just as Jesus gives us his very flesh and blood, and we receive him into our very selves in Holy Communion. Now, Christ, of course, had the most profound love for his mother. Sometimes people worry Catholics have too strong of a devotion to Mary. And my comeback is always, well, as long as you don't love her more than Jesus, you'll be okay. And I'm pretty sure it's impossible for us to be more devoted and more in love with her than Christ, her son. But Christ gave his mother some pretty epic Mother's Day gifts. I felt pretty good about myself because at the school gala, I was able to get Kendra Scott jewelry for my mom. And she freaked out about it this morning when she opened it, because she's a big jewelry fan. But Christ gave his mother much more profound gifts. He gave her the gift of being the Immaculate Conception. Hers was a beauty that was not merely physical, not merely for the eye to behold externally. Her beauty was that her soul, from the moment of her conception, by a singular grace given to her alone, was to be the Immaculata, full of grace. There is no fairest honor of the human race than the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother. She, of course, by holy tradition, was the first to witness the resurrection even before Mary Magdalene. And she was given the unique gift of being crowned as queen of all creation. But to be sure, Our Lady's life was not always marked with immense joy. She also suffered more than any of us. Most especially, as she suffered a spiritual martyrdom of soul at the foot of Calvary, as the sword pierced her heart. She knows our pains and our joys like no one else can. At every Catholic Mass, we call on her frequently. We ask her prayers in the Confiteor at the beginning of Mass. And every creed we invoke her. And in every Eucharistic prayer, no matter which one of the Eucharistic prayers the priest chooses, Mary, our Queen, is always invoked for her intercession of her children. I like to, in my prayer, imagine St. John the Apostle, who was entrusted with Mary, celebrating Mass with Our Lady. We know, of course, the Apostles did celebrate Mass, the breaking of the bread, and that Mary was with John. So he would have been the first priest to celebrate the Holy Sacrifice with her. Imagine what it must have been like for the Apostle John to give Mary Holy Communion. For her to receive the very flesh and blood of the Son whom she had given the flesh and blood to in the first place. And the joy that after Christ had ascended into heaven of her communion with him in the Eucharist, the same communion that you and I have through Holy Communion. It must have been an immense consolation, and the way that Mary partook of the Eucharist must be so profound that even the angels and saints would not be able to comprehend what was going on in her soul. One of my favorite saints is St. Peter Julian Aimard, who was called the Apostle of the Eucharist because he spent his life writing on the Eucharist. But he put together the short little book of reflections on Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And their daily meditations, just a book about this size, 2 pages each day going through the life of Mary and connecting Our Lady's life to the sacrament of the altar. And I want to share with you 4 graces that he says that Our Lady partook of in her lifetime, that we should ask God for when we receive Holy Communion. Because just as Mary carried Christ in her very self as mother, we too become arks of the covenant in carrying the God-man in us through the Eucharist. Just as she was one with her Son, we become one with him. Here are the 4 graces we should pray for through Mary's intercession. First, Our Lady's humility. Of course, humility is one of the most important dispositions for the reception of Holy Communion. That's why the Church as a good mother puts on our lips immediately before receiving Holy Communion, "Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed." It's an immense act of faith and humility before we receive. Our Lady's life was marked with humility. She didn't go around telling everyone, "Well, didn't you hear? I'm the Immaculate Conception. I'm the Mother of God." She was immensely humble. She kept her life focused on God and serving her neighbors completely. Her life was marked as a servant. And you and I are called to embrace that servanthood as well, to make our lives a gift for our brothers and sisters. She, the greatest honor of our race, when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to her, said simply, "I am the maidservant of the Lord. Be it done." She who bore the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords in her very self had a mere stable, a mere cave in which she gave birth to God. So we should ask Our Lady in the time of Holy Communion Give us hearts marked by humility and servanthood. Second, Our Lady was marked by an immense and joyful gratitude. Of course, the very word Eucharist means thanksgiving. What you and I come for every Sunday is to give thanks to God through the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lady, when she visited her cousin Elizabeth at the Visitation, sang her famous hymn of praise and said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Her soul was overwhelmed in joyful gratitude for the blessings of God. When you and I receive communion, we should ask for that same grace through Mary, to be overwhelmed and inundated, to be flooded with gratitude and joy for all of the ways that God has loved us. Thirdly, Our Lady's life was marked as an act of oblation, a self-offering to God. Everything she did was for him and in obedience to him. "Be it done to me according to your word." There was no self-will in Mary's heart. She was completely fixed on doing the will of our Heavenly Father. We ought to ask Our Lady when we receive Holy Communion to give us the same disposition to always do the will of God and to make of ourselves an offering to God. And lastly, Our Lady's heart was marked with tender compassion for poor sinners. In the time of receiving Jesus, we should ask Mary for the grace of compassion for us and for all sinners. For she stood at the foot of the cross as her son suffered on account of sinners. She suffered for us. And yes, she prayed for us there at the moment of our salvation. She is the perfect embodiment of Christ's command in the gospel to love our enemies. For what mother could find the grace without God's help to love the very ones who killed their son, their child? And yet, when Christ turns to John and says, "Behold your mother," Our Lady receives all of us as her children, and she does so in love and mercy. These four things, humility, gratitude, self-offering, and tender compassion for sinners, are things that Our Lady wants to give us to make us more like her Son, if we only ask in that blessed time of communion. O Mary, cause of our joy, we entrust ourselves to you and to your Immaculate Heart. Amen.